as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. John 6:57a. You know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. 1 Thessalonians 1:5b. Even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. Philippians 1:20b. This week, we begin a new series titled Living for Jesus, a Life That is Simple, with speaking from Brother Andrew Yu on the God-Man Living. This is part one of message one from a conference hosted by the church in New York City in November 2015. The original message was spoken with side-by-side English to Chinese translation, which was edited out for brevity, thereby affecting the cadence of the speaking. A link to the unedited version and a copy of the letter read during this message can be found in the episode notes.
A life that is simple. Actually, I like the Chinese better, even though the original is English. But anyway, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy redemption didst give Thyself to me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. This song has been with me a lot the last number of weeks. Sorry. So let's sing this, and then we'll start the meeting. I hope it will be all of our prayer that however much time the Lord has given us on earth, we're here to live for Him, not just for the work and not just for service, but for Him. And the first word of this song is living. And this is the subject of what I want to share with you. And that is, how do we live as saints in the Lord's recovery? And the brothers told me that they want me to share something with the young working saints. I'm very burdened for this group of saints because they're the future of the Lord's recovery. And I even see some who went through the full-time training. And you're very dear to me, but you're very dear to the Lord also. But I was suggesting that it would be some corporate effort of all the brothers together, and that it would be not just one directional, that me sharing with you, but it would be more interactional. But the brothers feel that I should take the opportunity and share all the burdens that I have. And I want to be honest with you, I have a lot of burden. So I said, okay, then I'll just do whatever the brothers tell me to do. So the one thing that I was very touched with, I got sick in 2004. I got cancer, and then I was bedridden or resting for 9 months. Before that, I was busy all the time. I wasn't busy for my own business. I gave up my business in 1982. I told my wife one time in the middle of the night, I said, I just thought about the way to make my first $1 million. She thought I was talking in my dreams. She turned to the other side and continued to sleep. Well, a few days later, Brother Lee called me, and I started serving the Lord full time. And I've been very happy since that time. And last year, I had my second stroke, and I was in Korea. And after the stroke, the occupational therapist came to me. She said, most people that have stroke has depressions. So I want to know if you're depressed. I said, I'm not depressed. She said, then why are you not smiling? I said, give me a reason, I'll smile. I don't smile for no reason. And so she thought I was hiding my feeling. So she said, well, have you thought about death? I said, oh yeah, I died almost 3 times in the last 10 years. I almost died and I thought about death. but I'm not afraid. And then she said, are you satisfied with your life? I said, very satisfied. I'm very happy. I could have made my $1 million. I wouldn't be as happy as in the last 30 years. And I shared that a month ago with 900 brothers and sisters who were in big business, really big business. And we sang this hymn again. Oh, so many of them, they were just touching their heart. You know, in Chinese it says, living for Jesus, a life that is simple. And that's a secret to the Christian life. And so anyway, back to my sickness 10 years ago. So I was extremely busy before that time. And then suddenly I got stopped completely. And then I thought about, well, what is the Christian life? And I thought about what Brother Lee shared. You know, Brother Lee, towards the last part of his life, shared about three things. The first one is the high peak of the divine revelation. The second is the God-man living. And the third one is to shepherd according to God. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that in the last 20 years, since he passed away, we're very much into the first thing. And we're somewhat into the third thing, you know, the shepherding according to God. At least we try. But the matter of the God-man living, we know about it, but I don't think many people were touched about this matter. At least I wasn't touched. And I remember in 1994, and Brother Lee, because of atrial fibrillation, he went into the hospital. And after he came out, he stopped all his activities. And the first time that he spoke again, it was April of 1994. And if you read that book, The High Peak of the Divine Revelation and the Reality of the Body of Christ, that book, that was the fellowship in April of 1994 when he first came out. And sure, he shared about the high peak of the divine revelation. Everybody knows that. But besides that, he shared about the God-man living. And a lot of people, they missed that point. I say, I was one of them. And then when I got sick 10 years ago, then I was touched. And it started out with this. Brother Lee, he asked, in John chapter 6, verse 57, the Lord said, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. And he said, what does it mean for the Lord to say, I live because of the Father? What is involved in the word, I live? It's not that I work because of the Father, but I live because of. So how did this person live? And then he said, the Lord lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. He only worked for 3 years. And his work of redemption only took 6 hours. But his living took 30 years. In other words, his living was 10 times more important than his work. Took him 30 years to live out what it is to be a God-man. Then he went on to describe how this living should be. And I know a lot of the young people, they say, I'll never get to that. I can't even live my human life now. This God-man living, I can't. It's too much for me. Well, guess what? The Christian life is this life. You know, in English you have the word life and living. But living sometimes means life. But what we're saying now is our living, not just the life that we receive inwardly, how we live. Okay, so this weekend we're going to have 6 times of getting together. So L-I-V-I-N-G, I have one English alphabet for each meeting. So this is the first meeting, and it's living. And then the second meeting, it's going to be on initiative, taking initiative. And I'm going to share with the young people, the young workers, something very practical. I don't want to be just talking about teaching a doctrine to you. I want to show you how then shall we live. So the second meeting tomorrow morning is going to be on taking the initiative. And then the third meeting is V, that's for vital group. The third meeting is on vital groups. And you'll be surprised what I share. Then the fourth meeting is on I for intensification. That's the age that we're in now. And then the fifth meeting is N for the new revival. What is the new revival and how can we all get into the new revival? And then the last one is the goal of our Christian life. Okay, just be prepared that you'll be challenged. I'm not here to give you a message. I'm here to present to you what God's Word says and what is the kind of living that the Lord wants us to have. As important as it is for us to have the church life is based on our daily life. If we don't have a healthy daily life, we don't have the church. The children of Israel, they have to live on the good land. They only go to the feast 3 times a year. The rest of the time, they have to labor on the good land. And it's not something very spiritual. It's what they do every day when they're raising their children, when they're having their living, when they're living their human life. They have to live on the good land. So when they were in Egypt, that's one kind of living. And then when they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, that's another kind of living. But God's intention is that they get into a third kind of living. So the Christian life is a life that should be on the good land. I think there is a song that says, Lord, lead me on to Canaan's table land. The Christian life should not be in the low land. It should be on the high land. Well, I want to tell you that this living is attainable. And those that went to the full-time training, they had a very wonderful time in 2 years. But I'm sorry to say a lot of them, when they came out of the training, they don't know how to live. That's not their fault. I fault myself. We haven't given enough sharing on how we should live the Christian life. So this weekend, that's what we want to talk about. We want to live the proper Christian life, especially now in the Lord's recovery. In the 20th century, with a second generation, third generation, how should we live? And during that time when I was sick 10 years ago, I met a brother. He's a very successful businessman. And he always felt that his business was his hindrance. He hoped that one day he could get out of his business and be a full-timer. And kept asking me how to be an overcomer. So I got burdened. I said, I'll write the letter to you. After I wrote the first letter, I said, that's not enough. I need to write 10 letters to you. So I managed to only write 2. But I feel very good about it. Because this is not a sermon. This is a real fellowship on how to live the God-man living. How to live in John 6:57. It says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. Not I work because of the Father. And then he says, he that eats me, even he shall live because of me. And so I pass out that letter to you. And I wonder if we can spend the first half an hour to go over that letter. And that would be my fellowship with you first. And then I want to share something more. So I'll just read this letter to you. It's pretty self-explanatory. For a long time, I have been burdened to write to fellowship with you concerning how to live a God-man life practically, especially for those that are as busy as you are. How can they live out Christ, that is, live out a God-man life on the earth in their daily living? The Lord Jesus said in 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, even he shall live because of me. Can somebody read it for me?
Yeah, let me read it for you.
Yeah, okay, you read it for me.
The Lord Jesus said in John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This speaks of the Lord's living on the earth, as well as the living that his believers, his followers, should have. Our daily living should be exactly the same as the Lord's. The Lord's living is not only a moral one, a holy one, but also the one that is because of the Father. His will is that every one of us believers would be like him, living because of the Lord. This is the standard of a believer and the living that God has ordained for every one of his children. Speaking of living, many brothers and sisters do not have much feeling on this matter. They treasure the Bible and regard the truth in it as maxims full of wisdom. They know that as Christians, they needed to fulfill certain requirements, such as reading the Bible, praying, attending meetings, and so forth. They also try their best to fulfill these requirements faithfully as good Christians. However, they do not feel that their living is the totality of their Christian experiences. If a person does not have the proper Christian living, neither does he have the real Christian experience. Christian experience is not found in the doctrines, the creeds, or the religious rites, but in the daily living. What the whole New Testament describes is a kind of a living. First, it describes the living of an individual. Then it describes the living of a group of people whose gospel is actually their living. To the people around them, their living is a gospel. So when Paul was in Thessalonica, he did not preach the gospel in word only, but also by what kind of man we were among you for your sake. His person became his gospel. Now to the people around us, is our living a gospel or a stumbling block? Chinese also makes the distinction between teaching and by verbal instruction, and a teaching by personal examples. Is our gospel preaching done by verbal instruction or by personal examples? We say we are the Lord's witnesses. All witnesses should witness something through their living that causes the people to know that the Lord is real and living. Our testimony is not just the words in our mouth, but the kind of living we live out. This living is one that testifies that the Lord is real and living. If some people live in this way, the Lord will be magnified and shown as real through them. In the prison of Philippi, Paul lived such a life of magnifying Christ, a life that let people see Christ through him. If we remove this from the New Testament will be empty. A faith without living is a faith in doctrine. God regards this matter so much that he sent his only begotten Son on purpose to show us a kind of living. Christ could have bypassed the human living. He could have gone to the cross to accomplish redemption right away. But he did not do that. Instead, he took ample time, that is 33 and a half years, to show us how God lives as a man. He spent only 6 hours on the cross and 3 days in the tomb. But he spent 33 and a half years to live a human life on the earth. Actually, he came so that a man can see how men should live their human life. I have to ask a question. Do we have two kinds of living or one? Do we have one kind of living in the meetings and another kind of living in our daily life? Or do we have one kind of living during prayer time and another kind of living after we finish praying? Is our daily life the extension of our meeting life? Is our living outside our prayer time the same as the one during our prayer time? The Godman living should not be expressed only during our meetings and prayer time, but also in our daily life. We should not have two kinds of living, but only one kind, the Godman living. This living includes our daily living during the meetings and prayer time, but definitely not to be restrained only these times. The Godman living is the totality of our entire daily living. Some Christians live an amphibious life. An amphibious life is to live in two different kinds of environments, sometimes in water and sometimes on land, sometimes in one environment and sometimes in another. When in water, they find a companionship with the fish and the crabs. When on land, they find a companionship with animals and the beasts. When they are with one group of friends, the other group is kept outside the door. When they are with the other, the first is never invited. Sometimes they come out of water onto the land, and sometimes they jump right back to the water from the land. These Christians divided their living clearly into two realms, the heavenly realm and the earthly realm, one for God and the other for themselves. These two realms comprise two kinds of environments, two kinds of friends, two kinds of conversations, and two kinds of atmospheres. In prayer time, they are with one group of people. In another kind of atmosphere, it is in one kind of atmosphere. When the meeting is over, they quickly join a different group of people, assume a different tone and a conversation, and even put on different clothing. At one time, they are in the Lord. Another time, they are in the world. Some even boast how quickly they could switch roles and amply deal with two kinds of people in two kinds of environments. They can be divine and human, spiritual and earthly, living in the Lord and living in the world. They do not understand that the Godman living revealed in the Bible is only one kind of living. It is not one thing, one living divided into two kinds, but two living lived as one. Just as Christ's divinity and humanity are not divided into two, but mingled as one. His living is not divided into a divine part and a human part, but one that is divine yet human, and a human yet divine simultaneously. Christ did not make friends with sinners at one moment and then change an environment to fellowship with the Father and the angels. But while he feasted with the sinners and the tax collectors, he did so with his heavenly life. And while he fellowshiped with the Father alone in wilderness, he did so fully as a man. He was a man living in God, and God living in a man. His living was the living of a God-man. This is the pattern of the first God-man, and also the kind of living that all God-men should live.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.